giving us insight into how to steer the Hunterdon County in the right direction, according to the SEDS and Economic Development. Want to speak more about it? Well, check him out. Vincent Arlino says, never say I should have. Man, if you are sitting on the couch and you just heard all about this and haven't done a thing about it, you need to bone up on all this information so that we can get some folks out there to get this thing moving in the right direction. Hunterdon County is a gem in New Jersey. We just don't want it to get all tarnished. All right, it's weekend. Enjoy yourself. Have a great weekend. It's been my pleasure to be with you, as I am every weekday morning, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Thank you to Freeholder Rob Walton, Mike at the Movies, and Michelle Heidi for their contribution to the show. We'll talk to you on Monday. Good morning, Hunterdon, on HuntChamberRadio.com.
Is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
Today marks the third anniversary of the Boston Marathon bombings. And today the city marks the anniversary with a moment of silence at 2:49 this afternoon when the first of the two bombs detonated at the marathon. The day officially known as One Boston Day to honor the victims and survivors of that tragedy. In New York,
if we can raise it to 15 in New York or Los Angeles or Seattle, let's do it.
If you're both screaming at each other, the viewers won't be able to hear either of you.
A Democratic debate with Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton on CNN ahead of the Tuesday primaries in that state. In Japan, they're picking up the pieces and shutting down businesses. Sony, Toyota, and other major firms temporarily shutting down because of that deadly earthquake, that 6.4 magnitude quake killing 9 people, injuring at least 1,000 more. This is USA Radio News.
Welcome to Staples.
Hey, Staples guy, I'm opening a business next door.
Well, welcome to the neighborhood. You know, Staples can print custom signs and banners to help get the word out.
Great, but I gotta watch every dime.
We have low prices every day. And with Staples Price Match Guarantee, you can always get the lowest price.
Perfect.
So when's the grand opening?
Yesterday.
I had no idea.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
By Rob.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what. You sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home, sweet home.
Good morning. This is Tony Clark, and this is Some Things About Money. It's Tuesday, August 30th, 11:04 a.m. The current weather today in Flemington, New Jersey is 79 degrees. Sunny with a high near 87 later on today. Light and variable wind. Tonight, some patchy fog after 5 a.m. Otherwise, partly cloudy with a low around 63. Tomorrow, Wednesday, we'll have a slight chance of showers after 2 p.m., patchy fog before 8 a.m., otherwise mostly sunny with a high near 88 degrees. And Wednesday night, some additional chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low around 66, light and variable wind, chance of precipitation is 40%. Thursday, additional chance of showers and some thunderstorms, also possible after 8 a.m., partly sunny with a high near 80. North wind 3 to 7 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation 30%. And then Thursday night mostly clear with a low around 59. The weekend looks sunny with a high near 79. And the evenings highs near 60, 79 degrees as well. So we're looking for a good weekend. For a good holiday weekend. Even Labor Day looks like mostly sunny with a high near 82. We'll be right back after this commercial break with Some Things About Money and Joe Patton.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
And we're off. This is Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner at Patton, Heide & Associates, and you are about to listen to Some Things About Money. Welcome. It's a beautiful day. We've had a series of beautiful days, and I could tell by the brownness of my lawn. Not a lot of rain out there, and we could probably use some, although over the next day or so, the folks down, I guess, around Hatteras aren't going to be feeling really good about the amount of water that they're forecast to endure. But anyway, let's start out by taking a look at the market. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is higher. We've been looking at numbers, and actually, no, that's the DAX I was looking at. Sorry. The Dow Jones is down 48.66. That's down about 0.25%. The S&P 500 also red at 21.76, down 4.28. And the NASDAQ at 52.22, down 9.46. So, right across the board in the U.S., it's the European markets that are mostly higher. The DAX is currently up 1.11%. The CAC 40 is up about 0.9%. The FTSE, the lagger there, down about 0.25%. Oil, oil is just kind of reddish, basically negative looking at the rise in the dollar and some of the U.S. consumer confidence data. It's down 67 cents a barrel to 46.31. Gold is also down, slipping on the focus that we have now on U.S. payroll data, waiting for that, down 5.50 to 13.2160. The 10-year Treasury yields higher, 1.571%. A lot of focus over in Europe right now on this whole Apple thing in Ireland. Seems that the European Union wants Ireland to significantly tax Apple for what they perceive as sort of an inside deal that they're getting from the Irish that I guess the EU doesn't feel is fair to other countries. Could you imagine all of a sudden Apple owing Ireland $14.5 billion? Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. and the Irish are pushing back because it's all about maintaining their credibility. One of the beautiful things about Ireland is their low corporate tax rates, and it's a huge inducement for companies to move there. Well, what do you think is going to happen if they lose this one and Apple all of a sudden has to write that check? There are a lot of other companies in Ireland that are going to be looking over their shoulders, let alone people or companies that have been considering moving there, now rethinking that possible decision. So we're going to keep an eye on that one because it has huge ramifications on the movement of corporations around the globe going forward. Meantime, domestically, Stanley Fisher had an address to the Economic Club of New York in New York City. And talking about U.S. job market, he feels that the market is nearly at full strength, and the pace of interest rate increases by the Federal Reserve will depend on how well the economy is doing. Fed Chairman Fisher was quoted saying that today. In an interview with Bloomberg TV, Fisher did not comment on the timing of the next Fed rate hike, but said, quote, "We choose the pace on the basis of data, and that in the U.S. employment is very close to full employment." I know a lot of people that might question that, or at least maybe it's full employment but not full compensation. Fed Chair Janet Yellen said on Friday she thought the case had grown stronger in recent months for an interest rate increase, remarks that Fisher later that day said were consistent with a view that the U.S. Central Bank might raise rates at its next policy meeting in September. I guess that month is starting tomorrow. I can't believe how fast time is flying. Asked about the dollar on Tuesday, today, Fisher said the currency strength affected U.S. inflation and company profits, but improvements in the labor market showed the economy had withstood this headwind. The Fed has signaled since March it would lift rates twice this year, but investors have been very skeptical. Prices for Fed funds futures today suggest they expect about a 20% chance of a hike next month and just over even odds for such a move in December. The Fed also has a policy meeting scheduled for early November. The U.S. Labor Department's monthly employment report on Friday is expected to show the economy added 180,000 jobs in August, according to the median forecast in a Reuters poll. Other news today, we had some S&P Case-Shiller information. The pace of U.S. home prices gains slowed in June from the previous month, but strong appreciation on the West and South kept growth above the two-year average, according to a monthly report. Now, the S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller 20-City Composite Index rose 5.1% year-over-year versus expectations for an increase of 5.2%. That marked a sequential slowdown from May's revised 5.3% increase. The June gains were slightly above the 4.8% annual pace over the last 2 years. Overall, residential real estate and housing appears to be in good shape. Sales of existing homes are at, running at about 5.5 million units annually, with inventory levels under 5 months, indicating a fairly tight market. Portland, Oregon, well, that led the gainers with price appreciation of 12.6%. Seattle followed with an 11% increase, and Denver came in third at 9.2% gain. The S&P Case-Shiller U.S. National Home Price Index, which measures all 9 U.S. Census divisions, was also up 5.1% in June from the previous year. So not bad. Fairly consistent numbers coming from the index. So, Tony, did you see over the last few days a lot of stuff on the internet? Yeah, because we have the elections coming up, and we're all looking forward to the debates. I'm just kind of wondering what the Donald is going to have to say about the U.S. Army classifying Hillary Clinton as an internal threat to our national security. And of course, that got pulled right away. The Army, came under a significant amount of political pressure and said, well, I guess she's not quite as bad as Julian Assange or Eric Snowden or some of the other people who have put our security in jeopardy with the release of emails, that kind of stuff. So that got pulled, but not before it made a big to-do around the news and media and the internet. Didn't see a lot of it in the mainstream news. I think they didn't really know how to spin that one. But once again, you know, the U.S. military is pretty clear that they're really not a political arm of anybody. And they pretty much told the American people how they really feel about her national security chops. So we'll have to see how that works out going forward. More stuff. I feel bad. Poor Anthony Weiner, you probably saw in the news. More sexting. He's sending emails. He had his baby laying there. And Huma finally decided that this is it. I'm done. So, you know, she basically announced that she's not going to hang around for this one. I think it's probably a wise decision. And, well, besides, she has enough to talk about with, you know, regulators or the FBI as it relates to the foundation and her activities with the State Department at the same time. A lot of information out there from the AP report. You probably heard or read about that. The spin is that it omitted these thousands of appointments that Secretary Clinton held with world leaders and you know, other people who you would normally expect the Secretary of State to meet with. But the AP people already took that into account. They were very clear in stating that, those people were not included. That was the normal business of a Secretary of State. What they did look at were the private citizens. And they keep coming back, I guess, with Melinda Gates and a couple of other people. They keep throwing out the same three or four names. I'm kind of wondering about all the rest of the private citizens, more than 50% of whom made significant contributions to the Clinton Foundation. But I guess there really isn't any quid pro quo here. We still don't want to talk about Bill's Russian, let's say, relationship, all of the money that he received as the result of pushing for the uranium deal. That was a national security issue for us, but at the time didn't really get reported very much. And, you know, there's been other people who had given testimony and somehow were found, well, let's just say they're not with us anymore, and don't quite understand how all that happened, but hey, stuff happens. So anyway, a lot to talk about. We're going to talk a little bit more about what stocks are going to do normally in September. We have some commentary on earnings. We had a question from a client recently about the relationship between dollar and commodities in terms of valuations. If we have time, we'll go through that. Odds of an increased September hike, that's coming up. And, of course, we have that proverbial wall of worry. We just saw the Olympics in Rio, and you know, Brazil has some issues as far as being the leading country in South America, and we should probably talk about that as it relates to emerging markets. So all sorts of things. Before we go to the break, I'll just make another commentary. Kudos to the IRS. They unveiled a new procedure on Wednesday to help people who accidentally missed the 60-day time limit for rolling over their retirement plan distributions into another qualified retirement plan, or IRA. They were saying that eligible taxpayers can now qualify for a waiver of the 60-day time limit in order to avoid possible taxes and penalties. Generally, the penalties are 50% of what you were supposed to take. Well, now you'll have a little bit more time to explain to the IRS why you didn't do what you were supposed to do. So they even gave a sample letter that taxpayers can use to prove that their, well, retirement plans that were receiving the rollover should qualify even though they were late. They can just basically say, I forgot. When we come back, we will talk about some more things about money.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton, Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And we're back. You're listening to Some Things About Money. This is Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner with Patton, Heidi & Associates. And we are located at 1318 Route 31 North in Annandale, New Jersey, in the Gebhardt & Kiefer building. That's the brick building that you see. Well, you could actually see it now that they pulled all of the big bushes out from the front of it. And it has that large American flag right out there on Route 31. So as you drive by, you can just kind of wave to us. And if you'd like to stop in and have a bit of a conversation with us as it relates to the things that you're concerned about money, we'd be more than happy to do that. Or just give us a call to schedule a meeting at 908-713-6600. Tony, yesterday, U.S. equities, you know, they perform quite well. And, you know, despite the threat of higher interest rates later this year, that's not so bad so far. Everybody's talking about the threat of higher interest rates, but we just haven't seen it yet. And who knows? Maybe we won't. But the general consensus out of Jackson Hole over the weekend was that the U.S. Federal Reserve may be closer to raising short-term interest rates than investors have previously thought. As one might assume, financials responded well yesterday, and the markets were led a little bit higher. Higher interest rates equal higher potential profit for banks. Higher profits, of course, as we all well know, generally correlate well with higher stock prices over time, though it remains to be seen if that dynamic eventually comes to pass. It was one of the trading community things that, I'll say they were willing to believe in, at least for a day. A little further out, financials are a leading S&P industry sector during the month of August, and now firmly sit in the green year to date. It took a long time, but they have made it back. As the FactSet charts that have been put out there indicate, information technology, financials, and the broader S&P 500 have done well thus far during the third quarter from a performance standpoint. Further, cyclical stocks are outpacing defensive stocks by over 10% since the end of June. This represents the best two-month stretch in relative cyclical performance since 2012. Thoughts regarding the continued resiliency in overall equity price strength, however, fall into a couple of broad categories. One short-term observation is that although Fed Chair Janet Yellen has hinted at the possibility of higher interest rates near term, the short-term end of the yield curve really hasn't moved all that much. Additionally, the 10-year U.S. Treasury yield a week ago, it may also indicate to investors that stocks remain relatively attractive value-wise compared to risk-free assets. Recent comments by the Bank of Japan that keep extraordinary monetary policy and negative interest rates in play, and an ECB, which also remains extremely accommodative, could also keep the lid on 10-year U.S. Treasury yields going forward. After all, I mean, quite frankly, if they're running around with almost negative rates or negative rates, the U.S. looks pretty good right now. Other catalysts, well, let's see, helping to keep stock prices rather buoyant following Yellen's comments last week were that when the FOMC convenes in September, the committee's longer-term trajectory for interest rate normalization is likely to fall. In part, this is due to the FOMC not moving on interest rates thus far this year and pushing out hikes anticipated to have already occurred. Now, this helps keep the theme of lower for longer intact, potentially further rewarding risk-on behavior. Importantly, the potential rush out of bond-like proxies such as utilities and telecom, which some expect to occur once rates consistently rise, continues to get delayed. Hence, all sectors move more in unison as they did yesterday. With that said, crowded trades within utilities and telecom have started to see some increased selling pressure over the last month, potentially in anticipation of higher rates in the future and more stretched valuations. Investors shouldn't get too comfortable at these price levels, particularly on low summer volume, although yesterday's personal consumption expenditures and income data matched investors' expectations for July, and employment trends have been solid. Overall growth in the economy has been slow over the last several quarters. Additionally, third quarter earnings expectations for the S&P 500 companies have ratcheted down over recent months and will continue at least to show a continued trend of improvement to support current stock valuations. Excuse me. So we continue. Expectations for lower rates not happening in any time soon. Let's see. In the meantime, what are we looking at? Dow is down 58.95. S&P down 5.98. NASDAQ down 13.31. All red. Europeans, DAX up 123, 1.17%. CAC 40 up 1%, up 44.5. FTSE down a tenth, down 7.5. Oil, down 51 cents a barrel to 46.47. Gold down $6.50 to 13.2060, and the 10-year Treasury still down because the yield's up to 1.573%. So, Tony, what else is going on? You had a day off and you went shopping? She has her hand over her mouth. She doesn't want to admit to that. But you were supporting the economy. You went out, you bought furniture, the kids get to buy stuff? She's, yeah, okay. Yeah, clothes. School clothes. I so miss that. Of course, I have 15 different sizes of clothing in my closet for all of my weight fluctuations, but I do what I can to support the economy. Well, let's see. Was the first quarter the bottom for the strong dollar's pressure on corporate profits? Let's see here. With its second revision to GDP, we get a lot of those, the Commerce Department releases data on corporate profits, and unlike the profits report investors are most familiar with, these are not profits for the S&P 500 companies alone, but rather profits for all corporations in the U.S. Throughout the earnings release season, we have consistently noted that the energy sector has had a strong negative impact on overall earnings over the last several quarters. In quarter number two, for instance, lower sales and earnings in the energy sector, primarily as a result of lower oil prices, shaved 3.9 percentage points off the total S&P 500 earnings per share growth. However, another factor that has been weighing on results has been the strong U.S. dollar. Foreign-generated profits have to be converted into U.S. dollars at the end of the financial reporting period. The dollar's impact is much more difficult to quantify, but from commerce's corporate profit data, we can at least get a sense of foreign profit trends. As seen in a chart that I'm looking at that you can't see, total foreign corporate profits peaked in the third quarter of 2014, just as the dollar started to rise. You know, through its low in the first quarter of 2016, foreign profits dropped a total of 12.5%. Now, there is no way of knowing exactly how much of a decline over this period can be attributed to the stronger dollar, but since global growth has been slow yet positive over this time frame, we believe the dollar could be the most tangible factor behind the decline. So, you know, when you're wondering what's going on and why, a lot of the blame could be focused on the U.S. dollar. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about dollar impact and specifically how it relates to commodities and understanding the inverse relationship there. You're listening to Some Things About Money. Talk to you soon.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
As police in Brazil prepare to file criminal charges against a U.S. Olympic swimmer for lying about being robbed at gunpoint during the Games, Ryan Lochte says,
I did lie about that one part, and I take full responsibility. I'm human. I made a mistake.
Lochte speaks in an interview with ABC's Good Morning America.
The past 2 weeks have been like the lowest point of my life.
Which Lochte says means the offer to join the cast of ABC's Dancing with the Stars in the upcoming season has come at just the right time.
Donald Trump will secure the border. Donald Trump will do the things that's required to make sure that Americans know that they are safe.
Former Republican candidate and former Texas Governor Rick Perry saying he believes Donald Trump's immigration speech tomorrow will clarify the nominee is not changing his stance on immigration. This is USA Radio News.
Have you ever come home from work to find out that the power's out? You reach the power company and they inform you that it'll be out for another 8 hours. Panic sets in. You've been told to prepare for this before. Bottled water, radio, flashlight, easy to prepare meals. And for the next 8 hours, everyone is on edge. No AC, no TV, no hot dinner tonight. What will happen to your family if this same situation were to last 2 days, a week, or even a month? This is Colonel Rusty Humphreys to tell you about Heaven's Harvest. Heaven's Harvest has long-term storable food and water products that will ensure your family's well-being through any man-made or natural disaster. Don't wait for the power to go out. Go to HeavensHarvest.com and secure your family's well-being today. That's HeavensHarvest.com or call 800-516-4773. Again, 800-516-4773. HeavensHarvest.com. Use promo Rusty and receive free shipping. HeavensHarvest.com. That's HeavensHarvest.com.
This is Tony Clark. It's Some Things About Money, and it is Tuesday, August 30th, 11:30 a.m., and we're in Flemington, New Jersey. The weather here today is sunny with a high near 87 degrees, patchy fog after 5 a.m., otherwise partly cloudy with a low around 63 and some calm winds. Wednesday tomorrow, slight chance of showers, patchy fog before 8 a.m., otherwise mostly sunny with a high near 88, and Wednesday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low around 66. Thursday, chance of showers with thunderstorms, partly sunny with a high near 80, north wind 3 to 7 miles per hour. And Thursday evening, mostly cloudy with a low around 59. The weekend looks clear, the highs in 70s and the lows in the 50s. Mostly sunny and mostly clear all the way through to Labor Day. We'll be right back with Some Things About Money.
Actually, we're back with Joe. Joe Patton, Some Things About Money.
I am back. Yay! second quarter results. Yeah, we always like to talk about earnings here. Second quarter earnings released, essentially done with just 7 more companies yet to report. According to Bloomberg, approximately 72%, Tony, of companies have reported better-than-expected results, which we believe is above the historical average. And yet everybody out there thought, oh, no, things are horrible for companies. Not really. Typically, about two-thirds report better-than-expected results in any given quarter. Now, earnings per share for the quarter were down 3.4% versus year-ago levels, but up 0.6% if the energy sector is excluded. Energy is just hammering everything. Sales results, meanwhile, were down about 0.1%, but up 2.7% with the energy sector taken out of the equation. Currently, third-quarter S&P earnings are expected to be down about 1% or maybe 2% versus year-ago levels, improving to a solid 6% year-over-year gain by the fourth quarter and a 15% year-over-year gain by quarter one, 2017. That's according to Bloomberg data. These sudden improvements are largely related to easy comparisons and partial rebound in pricing for the energy sector. I could tell because I just put gas in my car and the price was higher. Consensus estimates look for S&P 500 earnings to be down fractionally for 2016, negative 0.1%, yet up 13.6% in 2017. The 2017 gains are largely fueled by expectations for stronger energy commodity prices and a modestly weaker U.S. dollar. So there you go, talking about the dollar again. Seems to have an impact on everything. Stock prices, too. Let's see. Utilities lagging. We talked about that earlier. It's kind of pushing down the Dow. Dow's now down over 62 points. So, the dollar and commodities. Now, some of the most actively traded commodities in the world, like crude oil, gold, corn, coffee, iron ore, or maybe copper, for instance, are impacted not only by traditional supply and demand factors within those specific commodities, but also by the U.S. dollar. While supply and demand for crude oil and gold or base metals impact prices in the long term, it can be often, be the impact of currency that impacts the direction in the medium to shorter term. Historically, there have been, an inverse relationship between the U.S. dollar and broad-based commodity prices like crude oil or gold. More specifically, when the U.S. dollar strengthens, commodities weaken or go down in price, exhibiting an inverse relationship. Conversely, when the U.S. dollar weakens, commodity prices tend to rise. Why is this happening? Well, the U.S. dollar is known as what is called the reserve currency by many foreign central banks because it is used for balancing foreign currency reserves as well as paying for imports of raw materials. Most of the major commodities in the world are bought and sold by using U.S. dollars as a medium for exchange. For example, when the U.S. dollar strengthens, it becomes relatively more expensive for non-dollar currencies. The same is also true when the U.S. dollar weakens. If we assume a commodity for a particular month was stable near $40 per unit, if the U.S. dollar weakens from the first day of the month to the last day of the month, non-dollar countries tend to benefit from this fall in the dollar. More specifically, they effectively experience a relatively cheap commodity at the end of the month versus the beginning, which consequently could drive up dollar demand, even though the actual price for that commodity stayed put. Excuse me. In foreign currency parlance, when the U.S. dollar weakens, commodities effectively become less expensive for other countries forced to buy U.S. dollars to acquire raw materials. Since 2014, or the short to medium term, we can clearly see that over the past 2 years, regardless of commodity supply and demand fundamentals, the U.S. dollar strengthening has had a negative impact on global commodity prices. However, in 2016, the slight weakening of the U.S. dollar has produced a modest lift in commodities, in our view. It's amazing how I'm losing my voice here. It's all Tony's fault. She won't talk to me. So, let's see what else is going on. Oh, yeah. Here's an article on CNBC about what I learned reading 3,721 pages of Hillary Clinton's schedule. Who on earth would want to do that? No. I guess it was more interesting than reading 3,221 pages of the Donald schedule. Certainly more impactful on the country. So we were talking about September rate hike odds. Well, although an interest rate hike in September is not investors' base case, market participants have increased their odds that the FOMC might act next month following Fed Chair Janet Yellen's speech at Jackson Hole on Friday, although Yellen, as well as other officials, did not tip their hands much regarding near-term policy. The Fed appears comfortable that they are moving closer to their goals on both employment and inflation. As a consequence, by the close of last Friday, Fed Fund futures indicated a 42% probability the Fed would raise rates by 25 basis points in September. That's roughly double the previous week. And that was according to Bloomberg. Importantly, markets currently see the odds of an FOMC hike in December at, say, 62% higher than the under 50-50 odds just a week ago. And we're still looking for this week's August employment report on Friday to draw heavy interest, although, let's see, another strong jobs report may act as a barometer for potentially increasing odds of a hike in September. During the Jackson Hole meeting, central bankers also defended their ability to boost inflation and employment longer term while having the necessary tools to respond to another downturn. Bottom line, Yellen and others may have removed some market complacency on interest rates and at least for now put rate hikes back within the realm of possible market scenarios that investors might consider. Could that be the black swan event? We'll see. September. History shows September performance can also be rocky. So, with increased potential for interest rate hikes and a U.S. presidential election on the cusp of kicking into high gear, investors' anxiety could certainly increase next month. Unfortunately, September, well, it's historically been the worst month for U.S. equity performance. According to the Stock Traders Almanac, the S&P 500 has seen an average decline of 0.5% in a month dating back to 1950. Well, that's longer than I've been around. Though we can't imagine any reasonable investor ever doing this, one would have lost 31.6%. Of their money cumulatively by investing only during September. More recently, the S&P 500 was down 2.6% last September, following, of course, China's currency devaluation in August, and was lower by 1.6% for the month during 2014. However, since the financial crisis, U.S. equity performance has been generally split between positive and negative results during September. And that's with 4 of the last 7 years seeing gains, according to FactSet data. Over that time frame, the average return for the S&P 500 index in September has been a positive all of 0.91%. This year, investors will contend with an FOMC meeting on September 20th and the 21st, and the first scheduled presidential debate on September 26th. Though market volatility and volume levels have been rather tame to close out August, we believe that could soon change as investors come back from their last summer hurrah. Hurrah! Well, that's where Michelle is having her last summer hurrah with the kids down in Brigantine with the family all this week. And we're jealous in the office because we're here and she's not. So Tony got a chance to go shopping. Michelle's at the beach. Tracy's off next week. Christina's taking a bunch of days off over the next 30 days. And I'll be here to hold down the fort, which is what I do. And that fort, again, is Patton Heidi & Associates, located at 1318 Route 31 North in Annandale, New Jersey. And we can be reached at 908-713-6600. Or you can check out our website, or you can check us out on Facebook. And if you would be so kind as to like us. We would appreciate that greatly. So, in the meantime, Dow's down. NASDAQ's down. S&P's down. Well, the Dow's down 65.92.36%. The S&P 500's down 6 points, down 0.28. The NASDAQ is down 15.5, down 0.3%. Now, things are just continuing to slide. Europeans, well, they closed higher. Miners were hit, though. FTSE was down 0.16%. DAX was up 1.16. That was good. Percent. CAC 40 up 0.85%. Also good. Oil? Still down. On the increase in the dollar valuations. And let's see, down 60 cents to $46.38 a barrel. Gold prices down $7.80 to $13.1930. So if you're interested in buying gold, always better to buy low than high. And if you like to do the coin thing, you may want to give Randy Block a call in Flemington. Guy's been in business forever. If there's anybody who knows about coins, it would be Randy. And then, of course, bonds. U.S. 10-year Treasury yield up at 1.571. And if rates do continue to eke higher, you're going to have to be concerned about, for those people who are interested in selling real estate or buying real estate, just remember, every time rates go higher, that's less house you can buy. So if you are thinking about buying and selling, we have two friends of the show, G.D. Gold from Coldwell Banker and Joe Peters from Weichert, who you hear on the radio. Joe has a couple of shows and is kind enough to do some advertising on ours. Give them a call, and they'll do an evaluation on your property. And if you're looking to buy, I don't know of anybody else in this county who are more qualified to take care of your real estate needs. You're listening to Some Things About Money. This is Joe Patton with Tony Clark. Joe is a certified financial planner. Tony is a paraplanner. Tony doesn't like to talk, but she's one of our more knowledgeable people in the office. She's just shy. So when you call in, you might be lucky enough to have her answer the phone. And if you do, you will truly realize how special you are. So we'll be right back after this message.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Welcome back. You are listening to Some Things About Money. I'm Joe Patton with Tony Clark. We were talking about that wall of worry, specifically how it relates to Brazil. And they've been hammered of late, but things may be changing a bit. You know, we've heard that term, right? Wall of worry. Well, it's got a lot more use lately as weak global growth meets strong equity markets throughout much of the world. It seems no region embodies the phrase more perfectly than Brazil. As the country's President Rousseff gets to defend her policy today in front of hostile senators seeking to impeach her for potentially illegal state accounting maneuvers. She does so in the middle of her country's strongest stock market rally in nearly a decade. Regional equity momentum has undergone a significant shift this year, with Latin American equities taking a leadership position in what has been a generally strong 8 months for global markets. As an indicator of long-term momentum, we compare the current price of a stock or an index to its 200-day moving average. This deceptively simple indicator helps build the case for a major directional trend shift in the trend. In early March, that indicator reversed for the major equity indices in Brazil as the Bovespa index crossed above the 200-day moving average, marking the possible end to a long-term downturn. Fundamentally, this shift coincided with the bottoming of commodity markets and the opening of impeachment proceedings against President Rousseff. What is significant about this reversal is the four-year downtrend that preceded it and the substantial upward momentum that has been generated in such a short period. Not only has the Bovespa spent nearly six consecutive months above its 200-day moving average, it is among the top-performing regional indexes this year. Let's see. A further illustration of the upward momentum includes the breadth of the Brazilian equity rally. No other major index has more constituents currently trading above the 200 moving day average. We see this as an indication of participation from all sectors of the market in Latin America, and not just materials and energy, which have led the initial phase. In our view, the broad nature of the rally provides support to the view that Brazil's economy may have bottomed, though we caution that any recovery could be very slow going. While geopolitical and microeconomic risks remain, with the help of slowing inflation and pro-growth reforms, we believe Brazilian equities have the potential to maintain their strong momentum for some time. Let us hope that that continues to be the case. Dividends. We do love dividends. Don't we love dividends? We love dividends. Since 1990, dividend yield for the S&P 500 averaged 2% according to FactSet, providing a significant portion of investors' total returns. The rate of dividend growth in 2003 through 16, through that period excepting the Great Recession period from 2009 to 2010, generally proved to be more robust than the preceding 12-year period. In fact, the ratio of earnings per share to dividend growth on the trailing 12-month basis provided, actually fairly consistent, ex-recessionary periods through 2013, according to analysis. So in other words, dividends are better now than they were then. In February of 2013, however, the ratio of S&P 500 dividend growth to earnings per share spiked eight times, with the next 12 months averaging a ratio for this metric of 4.5 times. One might expect the spike in dividend growth versus earnings per share growth in 2012-13 to be a tailwind compensating investors for the hyper-conservative payouts adopted through and immediately after the Great Recession. However, the double-digit rates of year-over-year dividend growth persisted for the next 25 months, spiking to a ratio of 25.7 times in July 2015. Since July 2015, the energy sector's severe earnings per share recession rendered the ratio of dividend to earnings per share growth decidedly negative. Not only did many energy companies reduce or cut their distributions, but also the messy degradation in crude oil and natural gas prices led to significant earnings per share decline for the sector. One can easily hypothesize that energy's underperformance and dividend erosion led investors to the profile of relative safety and income generation offered by the utilities and telecom sectors, which we talked about earlier. However, the trade-off of the relative safety of utilities and telecoms comes with a valuation trade-off, as the next 12 months price-to-earnings ratio of the S&P Utilities Group expanded near 18 times recently, more than 15% higher than a year ago. So, in other words, getting pricey. Share price appreciation over the past year in utilities pulled the yield of its index down 3.5% from 3.9 a year ago, while telecom's yield fell over the past year from 4.9 to 4.5%. While capital appreciation across yielding sectors may have rendered dividend income less important to some investors, many likely will benefit from portfolio rebalancing from high-performing and what were high-yielding sectors to more value-oriented sectors. So pay attention if you are doing a buy-and-hold strategy. Realize that sectors are cyclical in nature, like most other things in life. And right now, the cycle seems to be moving away a little bit from utilities and telecom to others. So you need to speak to your financial advisor to talk about specifics in terms of how to take advantage of it. That does not mean you sell out of energy or telecom or utilities. Quite frankly, if you adhere to a buy and hold strategy, as they cycle lower, you may want to pay closer attention to find an entry point into those sectors to create or at least to maintain a well-balanced, diversified portfolio. And as a reminder, diversification is really not to increase the return of your portfolio versus the S&P 500. It's actually to temper the risk that you may have by being too heavily invested in any one, two, or three things. So think of diversification as a safety net, not as something that's going to make you rich. It's actually something that may help you from becoming poor by being too heavily weighted in one thing, because if you have that one big egg in one small basket and that basket falls, smash goes your retirement. But if you happen to have it spread out among many baskets with smaller eggs and one falls off the table, you may not like it, but it's certainly not going to have that devastating effect that you may not have the opportunity to recover from. And those are the kinds of things. Now, we don't, in our meetings, talk about eggs and baskets, but we do talk about diversification and how it relates to your goals, your time frame, your risk tolerance. And we help provide you with the strategies that are appropriate given your financial situation. Remember, we are fiduciaries. We work under a fiduciary standard, not under the good enough standard of just suitable. And we've talked about that quite a bit. And if you haven't spoken to your financial advisor and asked for that form ADV or had that conversation about fiduciary standard, you really need to do that, because we're getting closer and closer to that mid-2017 drop-dead date for implementation of these things. And I find that there are a lot of people out there. I see it on the internet. I see it advertised all over, these companies pushing products that originally the Department of Labor wanted to remove from their list of appropriate products for retirement plans, you know, like annuities or non-traded REITs. And it wasn't until a tremendous amount of money was spent on lobbying did the Department of Labor relent and, with some exception, decided to create this best interest, this BISIS agreement. In other words, you have to sign a form that states that you've been given all the features and benefits of this product and that it is the right product for you, even though it's expensive, it's restrictive, it may not have good tax consequences for you, it pays a high commission. And those are just a few features that the DOL was looking at when they removed them initially. But they want you to sign the document, the salespeople, that you understand all of this and you're perfectly okay with these adverse consequences, and you're going to jump right in and throw a lot of money at this product. Well, maybe you'll be smart enough and not do it, and maybe you're working with an advisor group that is working under a fiduciary standard and would never even bring it up. But if your financial professional is bringing it up, that's a major red flag. Listen for the bells, and you know, you may want to have your track shoes on when you're having that conversation so you can quickly run out of the room. But anyway, if you'd like to hear more about it, give us a call, 908-713-6600. We are all about education. Spent many years with the Financial Education Group under American Express. doing training programs for rank and file through senior leadership of some of the largest Fortune 500 companies in the world. Both Michelle and I ran that program in this region when we were part of Amex. So we know a little bit about education and the fiduciary standard. I want to thank you for listening. This is Joe Patton again, Certified Financial Planner. Credentials do matter. This is Some Things About Money with Tony Clark. We want you to go out there, enjoy the day. It's school shopping season. And when you do that, remember, go out there and shop Hunterdon and shop often. Thanks for listening.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon.